Our resident chef, Kathy Gunst, has just returned from a coast-to-coast culinary road trip. Kathy has stories to tell, and she joins us now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jeremy.
So, first of all, before we get to the food, just tell me the route that you took, because it's very similar to a route that I took across the country, the southern route.
We did the southern route. We left San Francisco in the end of March, and we went to L.A. We went down and around. Austin, Texas was in the middle, and then up the East Coast.
It's such a great drive.
Gorgeous.
But it is made even better by the food that you get to along the way. So let's start with what you found in Los Angeles.
I just realized why we get along so well, because that was at the heart of the whole trip. So we started in L.A., and we went to many great places, and I'll tell you all about them on the webpage. But among the most memorable was Korean barbecue. According to L.A. food critic Jonathan Gold, L.A. has more Koreans than any place outside of Korea. And we landed at Park's Barbecue, where I know you've been as well.
Yeah.
It's very sleek and black and cool. And in the middle of your table is a grill, which is powered by gas and charcoal briquettes. And the thing about Park's Barbecue is that they have very high quality meat.
Yeah.
Kobe-style prime beef, brisket, pork belly, short ribs. And the waiter adds them to the hot fire, and you cook them. And then you have dozens of dipping sauces and side dishes. And boy, I just loved it.
So Park's Barbecue, get your KBBQ on in L.A. What was the next stop?
Next stop was Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is just a gorgeous town with adobe houses. And we arrived late at night and landed at a wonderful place called Cafe Pascual's. But it was the next day at lunch when we asked a bunch of locals, where do you guys eat? What's the best place to go for lunch? And everybody said, oh, La Choza. You got to go to La Choza. Mm. They are famous for their red and green chilies and their outdoor patio. It's in an old adobe building. So John, my husband, had a green chili stew with local green chilies, incredibly tender pork and potatoes. I went for the enchilada plate, which was gigantic.
And I hope had green chilies in it.
I had a green chili sauce on it. It was served with pinto beans and pozole, and maybe best of all was the hot, puffy sopapillas, the delicate fried bread, and you drizzle it with local honey. We just loved La Choza.
On my trip across the country in the New Mexico portion, of course, we did get some green chilies and a green chili plant, which is still alive today.
All right.
Here in the Northeast.
We should have done that. Mm. We brought back some chili peppers, but then we hit the road, and we had a long drive, and we went to Austin, Texas to visit friends, and Austin has just become a remarkable food city, most famous for barbecue, but we ate really sophisticated French food, the Japanese food and sushi, breakfast tacos. But it was when we drove out of town, about 30 minutes to Lockhart, Texas, to Smitty's Barbecue, that my dreams came true.
Mm.
It's an old meat market. It opened in 1924, and it's still a working meat market. But in 1978, they opened a barbecue restaurant. So let me just have you picture this. You walk down a long hallway, and everything is black. The ceiling, the walls, the floor, and it's all this black patina from the smoke, because everything at Smitty's is cooked over open fire. We were lucky enough to meet Nina Schmidt-Sells. She is the daughter of Smitty, and she told us a little bit about their style of cooking.
We use local post-oak wood, and it's got a lot of that wood flavor to it. It's over an open pit fire, and it's not like tenderized in a cooker. Sometimes it's a little bit more tough than what someone wants, but I just call it, it's a strong beef. It's what we do over the, you know, what a cowboy would do on the open pit.
What a cowboy would do. Now, I just need to explain to you, when she says open fires, she means this quite literally. There are these open fire pits inside the restaurant.
Hmm.
And what they really excel at are sausages. I met Jerry Mendoza. He's been working there for 15 years, and he hand stuffs the sausages, he hand ties them, and he makes a jalapeno sausage that when you bite into it, juice just spurts out, and it is so full of flavor. And I never thought I would like a barbecued sausage like that. Smitty's was like walking back in time, an absolutely fabulous adventure.
And, you know, this is where our trips have diverged a little bit, because I went to, also outside of Austin, the Salt Lick Barbecue.
Yeah, very
which
famous.
I loved and thought it was fantastic, but some of the real Texas barbecue nuts thought maybe I was going a little touristy.
You got to go to Lockhart next time. There's three barbecue places in Lockhart, but we'll move on.
All right, let's get on to New Orleans, the next stop on your trip.
We weren't supposed to go. We were so close. I'm like, you got to go to New Orleans. And anyone who's ever been there knows it's a first-class food city, and we could spend the whole show talking about that. But I just wanted to tell you quickly about a fairly new restaurant called Maypop. I am very suspicious of fusion food. I generally think it's a big failure. But Maypop fuses the flavors of southeastern Louisiana with the flavors of southeastern Asia. And it's wildly successful. So think Delta-inspired Vietnamese. Mm. There were fried local oysters with a bourbon barrel soy mash aioli and spicy cucumbers. Mm. Or there was a house-made squid ink fuselli with local blue crab, chorizo sausage, coconut butter, and mint. And it sounds like, really? Does that work? And I am here to tell you it does. There's a substantial Vietnamese population in New Orleans. And this is a very sophisticated, successful fusion.
And New Orleans, as we know, is a great food city. What about Chattanooga? Beautiful Chattanooga. That was your next stop, and you found some fried chicken.
We did, and it was an unexpected stop. There were tornado warnings, so we had to pull over. And I'm like, well, we got to eat. And fried chicken kept popping up. So I found out about a place called Bee's. It's an all-you-can-eat fried chicken and southern food time warp of a restaurant. There was the chicken and barbecued pork and potato salad and coleslaw and cornbread and everything is made from scratch. And I met Brian Bradshaw, who is the great-grandson of Bee herself, and he and his dad, Mike, still run Bee's. And he told us a story about fried chicken.
When the preacher would come for Sunday dinner after church, everybody would take turns feeding the preacher after church because there weren't any restaurants. And so local farmers would kill a chicken, and the pulley bone was actually what the preacher got. It was a large piece in the center of the breast. So we kind of played on that. We cut a pulley bone out of our breast and we cut it into four pieces. It makes them small so they fry times not as much, and it also makes them more tender and juicy.
I got to tell you, Jeremy, it was so tender and so juicy. And when I pushed him a little harder for the secret, he clammed up. But his answer was, that's an expensive recipe.
Are you a fried chicken maker?
Yes, I do make it at home. I like to make it in a wok, but there's nothing like good fried chicken down south.
Okay, next stop, Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville's a real foodie city also. In recent years, it's really risen. There's been a lot of buzz. We ended up at a beautiful restaurant called Night Bell, owned by a young up-and-coming chef named Katie Buttons. And she has a very creative, sophisticated take on Appalachian and classic Southern food. The most amazing thing was the deviled egg, which comes in a scooped-out eggshell and combines this ethereal corn sabayon with local trout and spicy pimento, and it was just amazing. And then a steamer clam dish from South Carolina with Tennessee Benton's bacon, smoked cream, and cider was this fascinating take on New England clam chowder. She's got something really special going there.
In Asheville, North Carolina, and we have time for one more stop from your trip, and that would be Richmond, Virginia.
Big surprise. There was a lot of good food in Richmond. We went to Pearly's Restaurant and Deli. There was a long line weaving on the outside. I had the Benny Goodman, which was two latkes, potato pancakes, topped with hand-sliced smoked salmon, poached eggs, dill hollandaise, and salmon roe. And John had the cheese blintzes, which were the lightest, most incredible things with ricotta cheese, preserved orange, and blueberry sauce, and we took a Cubano, their take on a Cubano, on the road for us, and it lasted us almost to Connecticut.
Wow. Were there any places that you went along the way that you didn't like? Did you hit any duds?
We didn't, and that's because I researched like crazy. I just was researching every bit of the way because I just wanted to find something truly regional and original and something that we don't get here in New England. It's not an East Coast. I wanted to taste the place, and I have to say it was very successful.
That's Here and Now resident chef Kathy Gunst, who has been traveling across the country, and we will show you some photos of her adventures at our website, hereandnow.org, and obviously we'll list those restaurants in case you find yourself on the road. Kathy, thanks as always.
Thanks, Jeremy.